And that is the difference between the dispensation of the of Christ that you find in 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18, and the dispensation of the grace of God that you find later in Ephesians chapter 3, specifically verse 2, but the whole context goes through about verse 10, 1 to 10. Same gospel message, but the gospel is a different name because it's got different characteristics. It's not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as it had been. When the time was right, when it was due time, God sent Paul not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek in the synagogues, but he sent Paul to all people with the message, same message, that if you believe Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day for your sins. If that's your belief, that's your entire trust that you're going to get to heaven is based on the fact that Christ died for all your sins, then you're saved. The Bible says so. Ephesians 2:5, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Romans 5:11. Go back and look at those verses. They all guarantee, if you believe that's the gospel. That's what God says He will save you by. So, I enjoyed those messages. I hope you guys all did. If there are comments about... Hi, Steve. Welcome to the room. If there are comments, questions, just bring them up. And we got a few minutes left here before we close the room. And I'd like to hear some questions and answer some questions. Open mic for a few minutes here.
I'm trying to figure out Romans 11, how it would be saved by that. I'm looking at that verse, I'm thinking, how does this verse save me?
Romans 11 or Romans 5:11? Romans 5:11, yeah. Well, it's the now, the word now, fourth word from the end. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement was offered to all, just like in Romans 3:21 and 22. It was offered to all. But it's only upon all them that believe. They believed it was for them. They received it to themselves, that atonement, that Christ died on the cross for their sins. And that their sins are all paid for. They're saved. So, Romans 5:12 starts the second section of Romans. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world... into the world, and by sin, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that refers back to Genesis 3. Let me get this locked on here. That refers back to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, not in the image of God. Adam had fallen, had sinned. He was a sinner. And he begat his son in his own image and likeness, his own likeness and image. Let me get it right. And begat a son in his own likeness and after his image. And called his name Seth. And that's what Romans 5:12 is referring to. Now you've got Romans 5:10 up there. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So that's God's part. He reconciled us. But as you see over and over in Scripture, it takes our receiving it to ourselves. It's called faith. Believe that it makes a difference in my life. It changes my destiny from hell to heaven. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So that's talking about a future tense there when Christ comes to the air to catch us up. Same thing as what 1 Thessalonians, let me find it, I think it's 5 verse 9. Yeah. Let me put that up there. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Wrath is coming, but it's not appointed to the body of Christ, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall be saved when Christ comes to the air, catches us up, and that triggers the tribulation, the start of Daniel's 70th week. Daniel refers to it. It's called Jacob's trouble, Jacob being Israel. Wasn't spoken to us. You've heard that over and over, Steve. Verily, verily, I say unto all the people in the world. No, it's talking to Israel, unto you Israelites. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Still need to hear it. Yeah, well, that's good for all of us to hear some of the basics, but we have to define who's speaking, who they're speaking to, in other words, who's being addressed, who do those promises apply to, or those curses apply to, and what's being said then. That means we are saved there too. Where to? We're not saved in John, no. Our salvation was not even a now. He ascended to heaven without telling his secret, but he did come back and tell that secret to Paul. After Israel had fallen, he waited until after Israel had fallen and walked away from their covenant, because he had promised to bless them. But if you look at the Exodus 19, let's look at that again. You might not have been here when EC went through that. Let me just pull it up here. Now therefore, if you could, you know, if you want to change the word of God, you can take if out of there and make it to everybody, but it says if you being Israel, who he spoke to, you can see that two verses back. Let's go back, I think. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. I got the wrong verse. How'd they get that up there? Wait a second. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to all the world. Again, we have to identify who it's to. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel. And verse 4 we'll put in for context, for continuity. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you... It depends on Israel. The choice is up to them. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, this covenant was only to Israel, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth, for all the earth, above all people, for all the earth is mine. Welcome back, Irish. So, and as you go on down, you find their biggest mistake, I think, there in verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. That's pretty haughty, isn't it? We can do all the law. We can keep the covenants without fail. Without fail. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. It was sealed. And they were stuck with having to keep the law and the commandments. Part of the law, you know, is in Deuteronomy 18. And that's where they fell. They walked away from the covenant that the Lord had made with them. Look at verse 15 here. And the Lord God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto whom you shall hearken. I think that's, let me just go back and look here. I think that's Moses speaking. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto God. Unto him shalt ye hearken. Look down at verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And finally, verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, in the Father's name, I will require it of him. So they had lost the right to continue as God's people. In Acts 7 there, where they blasphemed the Holy Ghost and spoke against the Holy Ghost in the mouth of Stephen, speaking those words against Israel. If Israel would have believed what it says there in Deuteronomy 18, that the prophet that God had sent, Jesus Christ, was the Christ, the Messiah, their king coming with an at-hand kingdom, it would have come. They would have been part of that kingdom, but they rejected it. God waited until Israel rejected it after that year, acceptable year of the Lord, after his returning to heaven. And then he, you know, the Lord, God is love. He didn't want the world and the people of the world to go without a way to come to him, without a way to be saved. So he saved his archenemy, at least in human terms, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, after long suffering with him and his persecutions, he saved him. And then we read about that new pattern that the Lord had chosen to set up in 1 Timothy 1, starts around verse 12 or 13, but I'm going to start at verse 15. Paul speaks and he says, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation," everybody should accept it, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save law keepers," not anymore, came into, this is new news, or it is news, he didn't die a second time, no, but it's news about how far that extends, how effective it was. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that word chief is in the next verse. Let's look at it. The word translated chief: "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me chief," in me first, that's the same word, "Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Paul was the start of something. The Lord started a pattern using Paul, for a pattern to them which should hereafter, that includes us after Paul, hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Not believe and do good, not believe and keep the law or the covenants, simply a pattern for them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I believe he died for my sins, and that brings me everlasting life. Amen to that blessed hope. That is, and it is blessed, isn't it? When you think about it, there's going to be a major change in the routine, the status quo, when Christ extracts people from their graves, from the sea, from their communities, and catches us up. There are a lot of other descriptive words, extract or rapture, raptures us up, but catches us up is the scriptural term. And that's going to be a great day. The dead in Christ go first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds to forever be with the Lord. That's the intent of it. I don't think I have it exactly word for word. Let me just put that up there. There we go. And 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump, or the sound that the trumpet makes, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Be with the Lord. Amen. Isn't that great news? Paul knows it's great news because look at the next verse. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're not going to go through that wrath that's coming on those that are not in the body of Christ.